Welcome back to Sound Mind. I see you have returned to suckle upon the teat of intellectualism and music. I'm Justin. This is Stevie D. Today we have as our guest Michael Bethley. Let's clap. Yeah. Let's clap.
How you doing?
Can I clap for myself?
He's like, I do not know what I got myself into.
When he said teat, I didn't know. I wasn't sure, yeah. But, you know, I'm here. I can't turn around now.
Yep.
Right.
No, but thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah,
I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
Yeah, Michael's here to suckle at the tea with us.
I wish that I could say that this is going to be the worst thing that he says. We'll just see how it goes.
Yeah, it could go one of two ways.
Okay.
You know?
And it usually goes...
two.
Yeah.
Two ways.
Yeah, number two.
Yeah. It does go number two.
Solid number two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So today we wanted to talk about chaos.
Chaos.
Specifically, yeah. Is there a way to combat the chaos that encroaches upon your life like a vine of darkness slowly clutching at your heart and squeezing until it bursts and you perish?
Yeah. That's deep.
And for all of you guys who didn't grow up in medieval times, what Justin is talking about is chaos. Busyness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things constantly that, being tired.
Yeah. Or like a million dreams happening in your brain at the same time.
While you're awake.
At once.
Right. Wow. Yeah, while you're awake. Yeah. Yeah. The vine thing was like, whoa, dude, this is getting really...
It's very visual, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to go visual. I try to go visual even when I shouldn't.
Right.
Let's be honest.
That'll be the number two.
That's right. Yeah. So, see, that was when Stevie went visual.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I jump on board. Yeah. Overboard.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm here. I'm along with the ride.
So all right. Sweet.
Whichever way I need to go.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Time will tell.
Right.
So I think I've talked to you a little bit about the podcast, our podcast about music and philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a reason I asked you to be here. We'll come back to that.
Because I'm very philosophical.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're all about, yeah, jumping overboard. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I just made that up. So let's start this thing off with our segment called Five Questions.
Five Questions.
Yeah. So these are five questions that we have for you.
Okay.
And you answer to the best of your ability. You really never know what we're going to throw at you.
You know, I've listened to the podcast once,
yeah.
And I'm regretting that I didn't go back and listen before I came tonight. So
yeah,
I'm nervous. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. That's all right. Yeah.
It's pretty tame, right?
Okay.
Right. I mean,
yeah. don't put him at too much ease.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So number one, one of the most important, if you had to play with a girl toy, which girl toy would it be?
Specifically as a child.
No.
Okay.
As a man.
I was going to say, that's easy, actually.
Oh, okay.
Easy bake oven.
Why?
Because you can eat whatever you play with and make.
Yeah.
I mean, I
like it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean.
So that's easy.
That was easy.
Wow. So he was scared before that? Like, have you ever, like, cooking with a plastic oven? Is that, like, that freaks me out.
I mean, hindsight, yeah, I guess, huh, right?
It doesn't get that hot, right?
Enough to bake.
Enough to bake, I was going to say. Yeah. I mean, you can cook some brownies. I remember some brownies I made on one of my sisters when...
Oh, so he already, yeah, I already played with
the easy bake oven.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, let's keep them coming.
I love the sweets.
All right, number two. Given what our podcast is about, why are you here?
Oh, because you asked me to.
Oh, yeah, that's easy.
That's easy. I mean, I can elaborate on that.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, I feel like being a part of this podcast is something special. Mm. I mean,
yeah.
To be asked to for you to take the time to ask me to be on here, you know, just like, okay, he respects what I have to say.
Yeah.
And so that's special to me.
Yeah.
So I appreciate you.
Sweet, man.
Dude, we're about to cuddle up in this.
Hey, man.
All right, man.
It's kind of cold.
So one of the questions I had for you was, have you ever killed / eaten a snake? Either
I'm
or.
I'm glad you didn't say.
I already knew that was question was coming, but it's really funny.
Killed / eaten a snake. Not that I know of. Although I lived in Arkansas where they do have snakes, like just garden snakes rolling around, I haven't caught one and looked it in the eye and just swung it around and threw it on the ground. That's how I would if I ever did, but I've never done it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the questions we had, I'm going to be honest.
This is right there, dude.
I see you wrote them down. Dude, I mean, baller.
Yeah, that's right.
What is up? What's your favorite movie?
Ooh, John Q.
Yeah.
I've never seen this.
You've never seen John Q?
You've never seen John Q? Movie.
Not to my knowledge.
And, you know, I think it's, for me, it's just the feel goods and the story of it. I mean, I haven't watched it in a while, so cinematically or script-wise, people probably would disagree, but I just like the story.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a man. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it doesn't really feel good till later.
Right.
First, it feels like...
It's like, whoa.
Somebody's like...
Yeah, but you can picture yourself in that situation, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
You don't want to put yourself in that situation. But, so what it's about is John Q, Denzel Washington, great actor. You may have heard of him.
Yeah.
Watch all his stuff. Most of it.
Yeah, most of it.
His son has this, his heart is enlarged. Mm. And his son's about, I think, 7 or 8 years old. And so he needs a heart transplant. And he has to get on this list. And basically, they can't afford to be on the list in the sense. So ultimately, his only choice was to let his son die, and he wasn't having that. He held the hospital hostage at gunpoint and demanded a surgeon to come down there demanded his son's name to be put on the list just to get on the list. Yeah, and then no spoiler alert, but it's good.
I'll check it out.
Watch it.
Yeah.
And so number 5 is...
That was 5.
No, that was 4. Well, I did ask you. I snuck a Y in there, but that doesn't count.
Oh, that was number 1. You said
that was
it
like
after...
a sub, sub question.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah, 5.
Man, my bad.
That's all right. We can change the rules at any
time. Anytime, it's just show.
This segment's called 5 questions, even if we ask 12. Okay. Who are you liking coming up in the mainstream music scene right now? If anyone.
So, I have a confession. In the mainstream?
Yeah.
I don't listen to a lot of mainstream music.
Okay.
I honestly, it's been a, for me, where I'll find an artist that I like and I'll listen to them for a period of time. And then there are times where I'll just ride to instrumentals a lot or in silence, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm learning to appreciate silence a lot. And then when I'm transporting the boys, I don't get a lot of time with them. And so I'm trying to have the conversation with them and stuff, you know, like in that particular moment. But I like an artist named Christian Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah.
He's dope. And so he's one that I'll go and, like, see if he has a new album out and see something out. But
I like Christian Gray.
Yeah.
He's a Christian hip-hop R&B guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he does both.
Yeah,
right?
He's like a, I don't want to say Drake Phil, but to put a comparison to it. But he's nice. He's real nice lyrically.
Yeah.
Musically, he's dope.
Awesome. Dude, get out of my head. What are you doing?
I live here.
Jinx.
Should we get into it?
Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like I kind of want to unpack a little bit. Like, so Michael, he hosts open mics in town once a month. Yeah,
Be open mic.
And you've been doing mostly Fridays, right? Or are you switching it up?
They've been on Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
Been on Saturdays. Yeah. It actually depends on when the venue's available, but mostly been Saturdays. When we started off, we were doing Wednesdays, and then it went to Thursdays at one time. So we've been all over the week.
Yeah. But are you still at Gathering House?
Yeah.
Gathering House. Garland here in Spokane. Mm-hmm. So check that out. Be on the lookout. Be Open Mic. You can find them on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that page and be on the lookout for upcoming open mics.
Right.
Yeah.
Come if you have some talent you want to show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted to point out because you got you're packing a whole bunch of things.
You
didn't, when I said, why are you here? You didn't even go into how awesome you are. And for way more reasons than I'm about to say, but also super gifted videographer as well.
Thank you.
Right?
And for someone who's never seen any of my work.
I have not, dude. I don't, for real, I have not. But I know that he's worked places that wouldn't have hired him.
I was going to say, I'm getting paid to do it professionally, so I mean, I have to have some kind of skill.
Right? But yeah. I felt like that was a safe. That was a safe one to put out there. Yeah. Also, which I have heard, super talented MC and writer. Yeah. And, yeah, man, we're blessed to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and we got to hear some of his stuff. Just, what was that?
Last Friday?
Last Friday, oh, Misfit yeah, Hour
Misfit
2.
Misfit Hour 2. Got the honor to host that, man. Appreciate that, too. That was quite the experience.
I appreciate you being there. Yeah, that was... It's a little crazier than the first one.
Yeah, you didn't tell me it was a 7-hour show, but
right, you know, right. But again, it was dude, we can change the rules.
Right. It's your show. You can do what you want. Yes.
Yeah,
that was fun.
You know, probably be good to look at the flyer that you were invited to be the MC.
Say 11:30, and I just
Did it said 11.
Okay, 11.
And we actually were done at 10:55.
That's right.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I
know. That was for
stop,
you, bro.
Stop your complaining.
For you.
You're right. I'm sorry.
No, that was great. Okay, so yeah, I just wanted to throw some of those things out there so people didn't miss those. But yeah, let's jump into this topic. Managing chaos in this crazy world or with your art or, I mean, there's so many things that we can jump into with that.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you know, I guess it'd be a good question to ask, when you are a victim of chaos? So whether it be that you have created or there's just too much going on in your life, like what is like symptomatic for you guys? Like what do you experience? Because I can tell you what I experience.
Yeah.
But it's like for me it's a complete loss of thought. Yeah. I just kind of go into autopilot mode.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, I sleep a lot more.
Yeah.
Typically. And you kind of go into this mode of just getting by. Like you don't really put the energy that things deserve because you're just barely holding on.
Right. Survival mode. Right.
Yeah. That's how it comes up for me. Like when I have time to like in silence, you know, when you're driving or whatever, you choose not to put on music. That's when you can kind of like look in your brain and kind of check up.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No? Bad idea in survival mode. Yeah. When I'm in survival mode, like quiet is scary. Quiet's a scary place for me. It's like, oh my God, it's really bad in here. I'm on down.
But at least it's good to know. You know what I mean? It's good to know where you're at.
It's true.
Even if it's really...
Sometimes you're in the middle of a time of life or a thing in life that really needs you not to fall apart.
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
So...
Oh, gosh.
The key word of survival mode, right? Survival.
Yeah.
Right? So if I break down right now, none of us are going to survive.
Nobody. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, chaos... has a different feel, I guess. And by that, I mean, like, I like chaos in a sense. Like, I seem to operate a little bit better in chaos.
Oh, man.
Does that make sense?
It does to me,
I mean, unfortunately, by trade, I'm a procrastinator.
Yeah,
and so
right.
That last minute kind of feel, like, okay, there's a pressure. You got to get this done. I thrive in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I worked for the news for a while, and when you do live news, that's really big to have that skill.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing that in there, just so, you know, kind of
plug.
But it's interesting because it's something that I don't want because I know like the chaos is not really making me better in that particular moment. But attesting to what you said about where you're in that survival mode, and when you're breaking down and you just don't really want to hear yourself think, but because there's so much going on, like when I hit that spot, that's when I know it's like, whoa, I gotta figure something out, and I can't break down because I got too many people who are relying on me. Recently my grandma passed not too long ago, and that put me in so much of a funk. Like something I've never experienced before. That I mean, I came here to the studio, and I, you know, that was my first time in the studio in 10 years, and I wrote something.
Yeah, because you were going to be on the podcast.
Yeah,
and then you couldn't. Oh no, it was the show.
It was the show. It was the Misfit. Yeah. And so that was that. I mean, that was I hit a brick wall there, and excuse me. I mean, my performance at work went down. Just mentally not being able to operate, and just like one thing that God said to me at that time was like, "You can't break down. I'm here. I got you. You can't break down because there's people who who need you." I'm like, man. But after that, I was good. But it's a beast.
I have to plan my breakdowns when I find myself in that spot. Like, I will have one, and a lot of mine looks like, you know, screaming into the air, like, you know, to God, you know, but like, yeah, again, it was a great question. Like, how do you know when you're there?
Yeah.
Because I don't, because I move forward. That's the kind of personality I press on. I move and like, and a lot of times when I realize that, it's usually like when somebody that I'm around is like, "Hey, how you doing?" And I like, "Oh, good question. I don't know. Let me check in."
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to answer that right now. I have to plan a breakdown. And then after that happens, I'll tell you how I was doing.
It's like that SpongeBob episode where you see the inside of SpongeBob's brain, and there's like the 100 tiny SpongeBobs, and everything's on fire, and they're running around screaming. The stuff's flying all over the place.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
I've never seen it, but you're doing a great job, and I'm like, yes, exactly like that. Exactly.
That's an accurate description.
Yeah, one of the symptoms I notice with me is the things that I love that usually bring me a lot of joy become a frustration.
Yeah,
big time. So that's a big time indicator for me, like when I'm getting into that chaos mode, you know. My kids wanting to sit on my lap. I'm like, no, not right now. I'm busy, like having to figure this out, or, you know, the idea of music or things that I love to do are like, well, if they're the thoughts even there,
you know,
it's like, it feels like work.
Yeah. Well, when you're kind of in that spot, like, I guess we can call it survival mode. But when you're in survival mode, anything that's not contributing to relief is a pain, and it feels pointless,
right?
Because like, that doesn't really contribute to what's going on in my head.
Yeah, even it's not taking the weight off; it's adding more to it.
Yeah. So you just kind of cut out, and I think that happens a little bit even with relationships. Like I don't have time for that because this, you know, whatever it is, which is pretty scary. But
yeah, let me lock myself by myself and just keep on soldiering on.
I'm thinking, because I mean, I like the question, because I've never really sat and thought about that, you know, like, what do you do? I mean, and for me, is I guess the question I'm asking myself is, can I identify you know, how I'm feeling when it actually hits, you know? I knew, using that my grandma's example, I knew I was in a funk after the fact, when I seen, you know, people are coming up to you, "Are you okay? You know, everything all right?" I'm like, no. You know, I mean, I didn't do that.
Right.
But that's how I felt on the inside. And it was like, realizing then, it's like, oh, I'm not okay. But understanding when that actually happened, that's a very interesting question. Interesting thought, I should say, because to be self-aware is important, and it's something that, for me, I'm the type that I kind of just go. Like, I know, it's like, all right, something happens, I'll be okay. I'm going to go. I was, you know, being the oldest child and having to just adjust and adapt wherever, wherever we went, whatever happened. And so I had that mentality growing up, and in life, even now, it's like, you know, you just got to push through. You got to go through. You got to deal, whatever, whatever. And then even in the Black culture, right? So it's mental health, which is a big thing now. It's talking about being okay to talk about mental health.
Right. Yeah.
And that it's a big thing. I'm realizing that it's a big thing, and it's important to talk about.
Right.
Because you can get into a space where you're lost, you know, and you don't want that to happen. Yeah. At least I don't want that to happen because I got family. I got people to take care of. I feel like even though I like to quote myself sometimes and I say, it feels like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. Of course, I forgot it. But anyway, the weight of the world, you know, it's feeling like on your shoulders. And like, I feel like sometimes that if I don't succeed at what I'm doing, I'm disappointing or not living up to things for my family and for people, even people who are close to me. And so that pressure, that added pressure, drives me forward to move on. But also I become blind to the fact that I may be experiencing a breakdown as well. So,
Yeah,
appreciate that.
Yeah,
I don't know if I made sense if I was all over the place.
No, I think I picked up what you're laying down.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think too, we need to dive in. There's a couple because like we start out managing chaos, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't got to managing. We're just kind of breaking down like this is what it is. Here's how we like notice when it's there. But the other thing I was thinking about when you were talking was like, how do you know? There's chaos you experience because you overextended yourself, right? Or like you didn't know how to say no. You know, there's chaos that you put on yourself. And then there's times in life where there's just the chaos that you're dealing with and it's what you have to deal with, you know? And so even identifying those, because one way of managing chaos could be like learning how to not overextend yourself.
Yeah, saying no. Mm-hmm. Some people really are horrible at saying no to things.
Man.
And I think that's huge. Sometimes it's people. Yeah. Like sometimes we have people in our lives that are just out of control, and we're trying to help them, and they're just pulling us into it. And sometimes it's better to just be like, no, I cannot help you where you're at right now, and just not engage, because otherwise it's just. They just pull you right into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, like you were saying, there's some chaos is out of our control. Like, if your house burns down, like, sometimes you can't do anything about that, and it's just what it is.
Right.
But that situation is going to be a lot easier if the other two are not true. Like, if you're not overextending yourself, you're in a healthy state of mind, and the people in your life are supportive and not crazy.
Right.
You know, those are two things that are helpful.
That was a wild card as well.
Yeah.
Boundaries. Creating boundaries is a good strategy for managing chaos. Mm-hmm. I know one thing for me, like when just to touch on like the relationship piece, like I think that one thing that I look for is, especially with people I want to help, and I used to be horrible at this, like, and I'm not always great, but I'm a lot better than I used to be, but is... if there's somebody that I'm helping and I feel like I'm more concerned and worried and putting more effort toward working on their problem than they are, that's codependency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so like I use that as like a framework to gauge my level of commitment and output, you know.
Yeah.
'Cause, you know, if I'm spending an hour on your problem and you just sat here for the first 5 minutes of your whole week just to vent all your chaos, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
That's interesting. I have a situation similar to that.
Yeah. You know,
there's a lot going on in my life. Anyway, I was like, there's a lot going on. But yeah, I mean, if they're not putting forth that effort to help you help them, I mean, they come to you for that help.
Yeah.
And then, being able to tell people no is easier said than done.
Yeah.
And just having a heart for people, just wanting to just love on them, it's hard to tell them no when you see them in need.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, being cognizant of the fact that you're not helping yourself.
Yeah.
You're not helping me help you.
Yeah.
Like, we sat down, we had this conversation about you having these goals, let's get out of the situation, but yeah, you're still sitting here.
Right.
Not making progress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's adding to my chaos.
Yeah. Well, and we could even, I mean, there'd be a whole nother episode to dive into like how you translate what love is, right? Because sometimes love is telling someone no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because it didn't make them, like, they leave feeling like you didn't help me solve my problem. You didn't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they walk away maybe not feeling loved, you know what I mean? Or whatever.
Yeah.
yeah, sometimes that's the most loving thing I could do, right. You know?
Is that what they call tough love?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know.
Somebody calls it that.
Somebody calls it that.
Yeah. Yeah, but so let's dive deeper into this. Let's assume that the managing chaos that we're going to talk about is managing chaos in the situation of this is where I am, this is what I deal with, and I have to manage it, right? Like not the I packed way too much on myself kind of a chaos. Does that make sense?
So you're talking about managing chaos that you did not bring upon yourself.
Exactly.
This is just life is happening
to
you.
Yeah, because I know when we first were talking about the topic, man, I was thinking like managing chaos as an artist, right? Like, so like I'm a father and I'm a husband and I'm a studio engineer and a producer, right? And like all these other things, like how do I manage, you know, life and like those type of things when it gets chaotic and all those moving parts, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think a big component to that is just creating and maintaining priority, because if all the things are up in the air at the same time, that's chaotic because you're trying to juggle all those different things. But if you can put things in a spot where you're like, okay, this is here, this is below that because it's less important, this takes more time, so I'm going to do it above that. And once you figure that part out, there's still going to be stuff because life happens, right?
Yeah.
But it'll be easier to identify and easier to resolve because everything's in a spot. And that is easier said than done.
Yeah.
Some people are more naturally, like some people just do that without thinking about it.
Yeah, man. God bless their souls.
Hey, look, I was about to say, is that you?
That is not me.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, man, you have it. You have the formula, but.
That is not me. Yeah, I mean, okay. I think that I'm better at saying no than some. So when it comes to overextending myself, I think I realize very quickly, and I back out of things maybe a little too easily because I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. But yeah, just because I try to operate at a level that's functional, I guess, even if it's not necessarily like, yeah, I'm doing great. At least it's like I'm not at risk of having some kind of meltdown.
Man, that's so crazy. I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me personally, is I like I said before, I thrive in the chaos.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if there's not chaos for me, sometimes I'll find, and by chaos, I mean, that could be defined in a very...
Can we call it what? Mild anxiety? Mild stress?
Because kind of what you described earlier was almost just pressure, right? Because a procrastinator loves pressure, right? Because it's a reason to do something.
Right. So is a procrastinator someone who doesn't plan, or do they plan to procrastinate so that they can move by the pressure?
Well, it's funny that you say that because a lot of studies have shown that procrastinators are smarter than everybody else.
I try to tell.
I have told everyone.
All my bosses that let me go, that's right. I was trying to tell them, you're making a mistake.
Man, right. You know, sorry, keep going.
Well, I was just going to say, because mentally they have created a priority list, and the thing that they're procrastinating is lower than other things.
Right.
Because in their mind, they're like, that won't take that long.
Right.
So either they're right or they're wrong, but either way, it creates pressure, because as you get closer to the deadline, the pressure mounts, and the... The work starts.
This makes me remember a conversation I had with a guy, and this conversation was about 10 years ago. And he told me, he said, it's got to be true too because it's coming back to me right now. He said, Stevie, I think you're addicted to adrenaline. And I remember in the moment I was like, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's come up a couple times over the years. But it's like ringing right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I think there might be some truth to that, right? Because the pressure.
It causes.
There's some adrenaline going on, right? Like you have to like. a second ago I was fine, but now I got to be on it, like fully engaged, like figure out how the heck can I do three times as much in half the amount of time.
Yeah. That's so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I talk to you and we talk about just like how we are going through life and dealing with different situations, I relate a lot, you know, to the things that you share because I think we operate similar in some of those things. But yeah, that just popped into my brain.
Yeah. For me, it's just funny that we're talking this, having this conversation, because part of my conversation with my wife is, you know, I have these ideas, and then it's piecing them together, right? And,
yeah.
And committing to one or the other. But for me, I want to commit to all of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Or if it's I'm at my job and my procrastinationism.
Yeah.
We'll
take it.
has put me in a place where, you know, my work performance, it all goes in line with what happened when my grandma passed away. My work performance went down, but I was already a procrastinator.
Mm.
And so, you know, I got a new boss and she was like, oh, we're pointing out these deadlines that you've been missing and everything like that. And it's funny because, like, that adrenaline is something that's, and I'm like, fine. And then I go in and I finish the videos and, like, I've been sitting there for like,
what now? What do you got to say?
Just to prove you wrong, like I hit the deadline, it was tomorrow, so you know.
Yeah, you already tell me.
I mean being able to work under pressure is something that it does have a rush to it.
Yeah.
And it has a certain feel to it that I think I've gotten so acclimated to that it's just like I can't really operate it without it.
Yeah.
Like, planning is hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy for me either. I think it forces decision-making when your deadline is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of, like, creating, and even, like, because editing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to make so many decisions, and a deadline is, like, you have to make a choice, mm-hmm. and you just make it, and you move on.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I think production would be really bad for me because I would go back over and over, and I would change my mind like a million times.
Yeah.
As long as there was no deadline, I would just work on it forever, and it would never end.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. And so a deadline creates a potential, depending on the situation. Like if you're writing your own music, right?
Yeah.
Any deadline is almost like a fake one because you don't have to ever finish it, right? But by creating a deadline, you're saying, okay, that's the cutoff point where working on this is no longer possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that creates a healthy boundary, because at some point
you have to settle. You have to make a decisive decision.
Yeah. And it needs to be over, right? Like imagine you're writing a book, right? And your editor or whatever says, you know what? Your publisher, take as much time as you need to write this book. I don't think that would go well.
Right.
Because most people need that. They need that.
Yeah.
I have this much time. I'm going to do around this many pages, which is this many words. I'm going to go to town. Here are my plot points. And they have like an idea and then they go for it. Because otherwise you're just going to go back over it a million times and it's going to change a million times. Well, this could be better. And then you change it. But then you're like, but that wasn't better than it was before. It's just different.
Right.
And yeah. Yep. So
that's why I have no albums out.
That's going to change. That's 2020. Michael Bethley's dropping his first project.
Boy. Shout out to Stevie D.
Yeah, come on. That's prophecy.
Yeah, that's what I like about being able to hand my stuff off to someone.
Yeah.
You know, the idea is you record it and then someone else is going to work on it. Mm-hmm. And then when they're done with it, the song comes out. And by not being part of that process, I'm not holding it up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think there's something else that comes to mind is like I think I have this switch. Sometimes I'm able to, or a hat, if you will, you know, that term, like
he
wears many hats, you know, like I think identifying like what hat am I going to wear for this situation or this particular moment, you know, and learning how to take certain hats off and put certain hats on, you know, at the right times. And so like for me, like as an artist, when I'm editing, like I don't have my artist hat on, you know, I don't get anywhere if I do,
you know?
And so like I put a different type of like technical, you know, get through this prep cook almost, right? Like if I'm the chef, Like, I'm thinking, oh, a little bit of that. It's going to be nice, you know. But if I'm prep cook, like, I got to get these pieces to the chef so he can, you know what I mean? I think it's a good ability to be able to do that, which honestly rings true even in relationships. Like I was saying, like, sometimes I need to take my friend hat off and put my boss hat on. You know what I mean?
It's funny. You're the second person that, well, I witnessed that when I was in here in the studio and I was, we were listening to what I did and I was like, so what do you think? Like, should I have this verse? And you're like, honestly, I just had my production hat on. I wasn't, and I looked at you and I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's keep it how it is, you know? It's a gift to be able to do that. I mean, my sister, she owns one, a business where she has, I don't have to get into all that. She owns a business, but a lot of family and friends work for her. And she was like, I'm the boss. I'll have the work hat on. And then at home, hey, I know I yelled at you earlier, but hey,
you yelled at me earlier,
but that's a tell.
To be honest, I don't, for me, like, I think that's something that, that I've learned, you know, because I had to almost, or like, you know what I mean? I feel like life kind of put me in a corner where I needed to start to figure some of those things. Because naturally, I didn't have that ability. Naturally, you know, and even still, I could get so much better at it, you know, like, but left to my own, I didn't come with that one, you know?
Yeah, we all got room for improvement, I feel like.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
He's pretty much perfect, but,
I mean, as close as you can get, really.
As close as you can get. Yeah.
So
So real quick, what is prioritizing, like making priority? What does that look like in your life? Or like,
well,
like
a... So I mean, the only resource that a person has inherently is time, right? And so you're trading time for other things.
Yeah.
For me, what that looks like is, I have to allocate that time, right? So if my wife is my first priority, then she needs to get the most time, right? And then everything needs to kind of slot around that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like if I'm working and we have a job that needs to get finished, I have to move my priorities around, because if I don't make money at my job that I work at, then I will not live, which is a prerequisite to spending time with someone.
Right.
So then I have to move the job. The job goes up because, okay, now I have to make sure that I make enough money that we live and I do the requirements of my job. So that can go up. But, you know, when that's over, when crunch time is over, the priorities change again. So it's just kind of mentally managing, like, what needs the most time. And being intentional about it, because I'm the kind of person that will, like, just commit to everything and then think about it later and be like, well, actually, that's impossible because I would be in two places at once.
It's not 29 hours in a day.
Exactly. So I have to be the person that actually thinks about it and goes, okay, well, I already told someone I would be at this place at this time. Right. So I'm going to have to say no to you, even though I want to say yes. And I'm getting better at that, but that's definitely something that I have had to get more better at.
So it's like, scheduling is important.
Yeah.
Even if it's mental schedule. That's why I think administrative people are probably naturally more gifted at what we're talking about. Because they're used to scheduling stuff. It's good, man. It's really good. So you kind of have to be self-aware, you know what I mean, to do that.
Yeah, you got to check in.
Yeah, you got to check in and be like, okay, my priorities are, I'm sucking at this. Which, that happens to me.
Mindfulness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, when it gets brought up by a person or people, being able to log that information and, like, take it into account in going forward instead of just doing the same thing that you were doing before.
Yeah.
Which I think most people are like, oh, yeah, totally. Like, I'm going to alter my priorities because you brought this up. And then it's like, it doesn't really mean anything going forward.
Yeah.
It's funny we're talking about this because this has, like, been the issue or the topic of a lot of things that's been happening in my life. But just, I mean, setting those priorities is very important. I mean, I went into, I don't know if it was this year, but a state where I was just like, yep, I got, if I do commit to something, it needs to be a paying gig, yeah, you know, or like, yeah, you know, it being a priority that if it's a paying gig, and if, yeah, it's not, what can I do to, how can I, you know, make it a paying gig? Or, you know, if, yeah, they're asking me to MC an event, or if...
Misfit Hour 3, bro. No, you know what's funny? I already was thinking this, and I know exactly what you're saying, because, like, I feel like I have a similar way that I've been thinking.
Yeah.
But I'm still doing... Anyway.
I didn't mean to bring...
Yeah, you did. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I know you did. Keep on going.
Like, I got... Like, there's a couple events I'm coming up that, like, Saturday, they want me to perform a piece, a poem, and then they want me to MC something in January. And I'm like, oh, yeah, how much? How,
yeah,
much?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll give you 2 tickets. I'm like, right, okay. Come on, you know, man. They're friends. You know, being... Prioritizing my gifts,
yeah,
so that I can provide for my family with the gifts that I have.
Right, right, because, like, priorities, right, if I'm giving up time.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's, exactly, more valuable.
And so my time is precious. I got a wife and 2 boys at home, mm-hmm, with another one on the way.
I don't know if you did. Congratulations, man. Thanks, man. I don't think, I feel like that's new.
Yeah, should we clap?
Yeah, I feel like. Yeah, we clapped for, what did we clap before?
Michael Bethley.
Well, he's worth it too, but, like, yeah, this is congratulations.
Yes,
man.
Yes, yes. A beautiful, unpleasant, I mean, excuse me, a pleasant, anyway.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was saying, but.
Good job, dude, bringing yourself back to where you forgot you were. Yeah. But, hey, you tried.
I tried.
No, you're saying, like, if you're going to MC, right, or
right, yeah,
somebody wants you.
Prioritizing, yeah, my time. My time is worth it. It's valuable these days. You know, I've been doing whatever I've been doing for years, and it's being able to say, hey, look, I need you to pay me for my time.
Yeah.
In the midst of that, I think that, going back to the chaos thing, I think that adds to helping me maintain what I can maintain of the chaos, right, because if, okay, I can justify the fact that, all right, I'm doing this event on top of all these other things that I'm doing, but
however,
this is bringing in some money,
right,
for the family. This is bringing in income. This is helping me build Bethley Entertainment,
yeah,
in some way, form, or fashion.
Yeah,
so
good.
It's definitely something that I know I need work on.
Yeah.
I even bought a time management is one for me.
Yeah.
I found a time management for dummies book at a garage sale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome.
Here's the irony. I haven't made time to read it.
Wow.
But, I mean, just doing those things to try to make yourself improve so that you can diffuse some of the chaos, yeah, that's there. I know,
yeah,
that's a priority for me, but...
Well, let me know when you have a garage sale, bro, because I'll just come buy that book.
You know, it's probably in my backpack over here somewhere.
Oh, that's awesome.
Awesome. Well, I feel like that kind of brings us to the end of this piece. Man,
oh,
this
man.
Was fun. Whoa.
Yeah.
Was that you or me?
That was you.
Dude, that was you. You're the guy that has that.
I thought I had, anyway, yeah, I thought I had that on silent mode.
Yeah.
Someone doesn't know their phone.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, my farts are on silent mode.
Nice. Yeah, those are the worst, dude. Don't pound it.
I mean, I'm a respecter of farts.
Yeah.
The silent
ones are deadly, right?
It depends.
Well, yeah, you gotta be crafty.
You're right.
But if you keep a fart in, it actually ends up in your bloodstream. So you should probably fart.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Where you
look it up.
Shut up.
So if the bubble, the
managing chaos. This just took
air,
it to a whole nother level.
The air that your body is trying to diffuse.
The internal pressure, if you will.
Has to go somewhere. So if you wait too long to fart, it ends up in your intestinal wall and it gets absorbed.
Crazy.
Which then enters your bloodstream at some point.
Which then causes high blood pressure because of the gas that's bubbling
and
up.
You will die.
Boom.
So you have to fart.
I've got to tell my wife.
So
dude, let
like,
it out,
you don't
want
to thrive off of, like, holding in that internal pressure, you know what I'm saying? Because you will end up with issues, like stank blood.
Yeah.
Stank blood.
You get cut open, people are like, oh!
He has a condition, man. Fart blood!
Who just farted?
I don't know. Francis is bleeding over here.
And it smells like
stew. Wow. So, that's a sound mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm taking that. Yes, I'm spreading the word.
Spread the word.
Try not to get poo blood.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you on the next one, I guess.
Yeah.
Don't hold your farts.
Don't hold your farts, guys.
Till next time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.